Welcome to the Saybrook Insights Podcast, a proud production of Saybrook University. We're an online, nonprofit, regionally accredited university headquartered in beautiful Pasadena, California. Celebrating 50 years this coming year, our humanistic approach to online education has resulted in thousands of alumni the world over advancing the health and well-being of the communities we serve. My name is Nathan Long, University President and host of this podcast. In today's episode, I have the pleasure of speaking with Dr. Trent Wen. Trent is currently a department chair for our new Integrative Social Work Department at Saybrook University, in which enrolled students can earn a PhD. It's ideal for current MSWs and other licensed practitioners. The degree is also suitable for individuals seeking to deepen their research and practice in human services, social systems, and holistic approaches, all with the goal of supporting better health outcomes for our communities. Okay, a little bit about Trent before we get started. Dr. Wen holds a PhD from the University of Texas, an MA from Dallas Baptist University, an MA from Catholic Theological Union, and a BS from the University of Texas. Trent has experience teaching undergraduate and graduate courses in the areas of social work, psychology, and counseling. He's the editor of Domestic Violence in Asian American Communities and has also published 30 research articles focusing on intimate partner abuse, Asian American youth identity development, and depression among the elderly population. He's also served on 50 thesis and dissertation committees with topics ranging from PTSD among war veterans to children in the foster care system. Trent's utilized quantitative, qualitative, and mixed methods research methodologies in his own research, as well as guiding learners employing the same methodologies in their own dissertation and thesis studies. He's also co-published with learners over the years on topics ranging from depression among the elderly population to conducting groups with juvenile sex offenders. He's the founding editor of the journal titled Family Violence and Ethnic Populations. Additionally, he's on the editorial boards of the Journal of Emotional Abuse and the Qualitative Report, as well as serving as an editorial reviewer for the Journal of Asian Psychology, the Journal of Violence Against Women, and the Journal of Aggression, Maltreatment, and Trauma. Prior to his present academic profession, Trent was in private practice working with court-ordered populations struggling with substance abuse, domestic violence, and other mental health issues. Trent's background, both in academia and in the field of social work, strikes at what Saybrook does best: faculty, practitioners, scholars actively advancing the health and well-being of the communities we serve. Really a great talk and a great human being. To learn more about Saybrook University, visit us online at www.saybrook.edu. And now, Dr. Trent Wen. We're here today with another episode of Saybrook Insights, and I am joined by the wonderful Dr. Trent Wen. Trent, good to have you here today.
Thank you for having me.
So before we get into all the details about Dr. Wen, maybe you could talk to us a little bit or describe the new Saybrook Integrative Social Work PhD for us. I know that's one of the reasons you're here today, is to talk about this brand new program. What makes it unique? What makes it special? Why should students think about enrolling in it?
Sure. I would say that if you look across the country, from USC to Columbia University, from one coast to the other coast, is that we offer a very unique PhD in integrative social work. The name itself, nobody has it. Okay. Even these top prestigious universities, traditional types of PhDs in social. But here we are at Saybrook. It is integrative. It is holistic. So that students, whenever they go through this program, they will be taking various courses, not just social work per se. They can take public health. They can take biofeedback, hypnosis, very holistic and very integrative. And that is all mission, okay, and vision in terms of treating diverse populations, not just using one modality, But you have different tools that are very holistic, because human issues are very complex these days. And we just cannot solve these issues with just one tool. Of course, I mean, students will be exposed to micro, meso, macro levels of practice.
Right.
But also they will be exposed to the other disciplines as well. Okay. So that is very unique in itself. And for a student's dissertation committee, they may have three different types of faculty from three different disciplines. And that's what makes this PhD program very unique, again, unlike the other universities across this this country. From the very beginning, from the you know, the time that they enter the program, they will be taking three classes, one a core course, and then one specialization course and a research course.
Okay.
They will set them on the path, you know, to really search for their areas of research so that they can engage in their dissertation.
Can you speak a little bit about who this is most attractive to? I think, as I mentioned in your introduction, you know, before your interview here, licensed professionals in social work, so MSWs, but also across the span of human services, correct? So who might be the best demographic for this type of program?
Sure. Yeah, you do not need an MSW to be in this program. Okay, as long as you have a master's degree, and the preference is, you know, a background in social sciences. Okay, you can have a degree in, you know, counseling psychology, counseling, sociology, you know, criminal justice, and it is not a, you know, practice-oriented degree per se. Meaning that, you know, with this degree, I mean, a person cannot be licensed, okay, if they do not have an MSW, okay, because in this field, I mean, the MSW is the terminal degree. So this degree is for people that are in their career paths already, okay, and they need, you know, a stronger, more rigorous knowledge base. And these are the people, you know, that like to engage in research, advocacy, and, you know, they will have the skills on how to form or found, you know, their own nonprofit agency. Okay, so from foster care agency, you know, to having an adult day health, you know, care center, because that's you know, one of our specializations is that the, you know, gerontology specialization. So for the most part, I mean, these are the people in you know, mid career, and they really would like to have their you know, strong knowledge base in integrative social work, so that they can branch out, be consultants, be, you know, college educators, and also you know, to have their own nonprofit agencies.
Absolutely, and you really hit on a point on college faculty. I think as we look at the landscape in social work and higher education, is it fair to say that social work is now one of the go-to disciplines? In addition to psychology and counseling, is that area that most states are looking for leadership, for support, for communities, for in the delivery of mental health? Is that fair to say? And probably this PhD is going to be essential in teaching future social workers, in supporting initiatives at the state and local levels, and driving those mental health initiatives. Is that fair to say, or is that overreaching?
Yes, that's very fair, because we believe in collaboration with other professionals across the board. Mm. I mean, you know, we work with psychologists, you know, police officers. So whoever the person may be, okay, to help us help the clients, okay, because like I said, I mean, today's, you know, issues are very complex, okay, and it takes more than one discipline or one field, you know, to really help our clients, okay, to the fullest extent. So students in our program, I mean, they will be trained, you know, to do various tasks. Okay, I mean, they can provide crisis counseling, okay, because one of the courses that we offer is on trauma, okay, to understand primary PTSD, secondary PTSD, compassion fatigue, okay? How to self-care, and at the same time, you know, how to stay vibrant and effective so they can work with other professionals for the sake of diverse clients. And that's another thing that is an ideal, you know, for all our profession is to really be able to work with diverse populations, okay? And we do not look at a person's background and how we treat them all the same, okay? Despite of where they come from, how great their English skills are and so forth. I mean, if they have needs, I mean, we are here to meet those needs regardless.
Very good, very good. And, you know, one of the questions that's come up periodically, I think, is both in the creation of this program as well as in the development of others, is that the PhD in social work or the DSW, which is its sister or companion program at other institutions, more of a practitioner's doctorate, these do not require professional or national accreditation. So CSWE does not require that the doctor be accredited. It's only the MSW. We are regionally accredited. Is that, you know, so we know that to be the case. Do you have any other comments on that just as students are mulling over, you know, the choice of the degree program?
Sure. Yeah. So at the PhD level in social work, the main thing is that the program is accredited. The institution is regionally accredited.
Which we
so
are.
If students feel like, hey, this program is not accredited by the CSWE, none of the PhD programs out there, okay, are accredited by CSWE. Okay. CSWE only accredits BSW and MSW programs. Okay. In the future, I mean, you know, the CSWE will perhaps, and it may change that. And we have no problem whatsoever, you know, to seek that accreditation if that change does take place in the future. But I have no doubt, I mean, that we shouldn't have a problem, you know, getting it accredited. And I think, you know, to be honest with you, as time progresses, other institutions will look at our program and say, hey, this is kind of new, you know, it's integrative, it's holistic versus, you know, all the other traditional programs are alike across the board, you know. And, you know, we have had prospective, you know, students say, hey, this is like the best kept secret, you know, program. And how come you don't talk about this program that much? And I say that, you know, we just developed this program. I mean, we just launched this program. And as time progresses, more people will know about this. And I'm really afraid that other institutions, you know, may want to replicate what we have here.
So, so apply today now, get in early. I think that's the takeaway, right? Yeah, for sure. You the other week, you know, you and I were in a meeting and talking about some of the, you know, kind of differentiators with the program. And this will be the last question I have on the new program because I want to get into a little bit about who you are, you know, as the academic and professional in social work. But one of the differentiators that you acknowledged, I think last week, was the ability for a student to scale their program based on, you know, what's going on in their life. And I think that's one of the advantages at Saybrook is there's the ability to go as fast or as, you know, relatively slow within reason because we don't want students to not graduate. But what are your thoughts on that as a differentiator for the social work program and sure, how sure. that helps students? Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. So, I did mention that, you know, being in a PhD program, it takes a stamina, a momentum, you know, to really complete it, you know, especially when it comes to the dissertation, you know. I mean, a lot of folks, I mean, they enter, you know, PhD programs and have taken all the courses, do well in them, A's, B's, et cetera. And then, I mean, they lose that momentum because they feel like, man, I have taken a lot of courses, you know, let me slow down a little bit, okay? And then they take a detour, okay? And it is so tough to come back, okay? If you take a year off, 2 years, you know, or to decrease your workload, you know, then you lose that momentum.
Yeah.
And when it comes to do that dissertation, you know, then you have to go back and look at the research methods, you know, textbooks, the stats, you know, textbooks or qualitative, you know, methodologies. So I would say that, even though students can decrease their workload, okay, from course load, from three courses to two courses, Okay, but the question is that, I mean, would you want to be here 5, 6, 7 years versus 3.5 years? Okay, and I presented that to one of our current students, and he said, no, just don't decrease my course, low, because I don't want to hear, stay here that long, give
right.
me three courses, okay, give me three courses, and then help me stay, on track, okay, to complete it in 3.5 to 4 years, okay? So I would say, I mean, having, to go through this process ourselves, I mean, we know that that momentum is so important. Despite of everything that goes on in our lives, I mean, we have full-time job, we have a family, we have all that, right? But the thing is that, I mean, you have always to really think about that, hey, I am a PhD student, okay? And this is like another job. I have to treat it like another job, that I have to check in, check out, get my work, done and all that. Because if I neglect my full-time job, I mean, probably they're going to fire me. Same thing with a PhD program. And in my experience, I mean, those are the students that tend to finish, okay, and not just to get to the an ABD and then, just drop out.
That's right. That's right. Those are really wise words, I think, for the social work and any PhD program, right? To really set that schedule to stay connected with the faculty and really focus in on completion. Because at the end of the day, if you look at it like a second job, that will help you get across the finish line a lot faster. So really wise words, Dr. Wen. I think many of my colleagues when I was in graduate school, I wish some of them had heeded that advice many years ago. It's a very tough thing to come back to. So really good stuff. And I think the beauty of our program is you can scale up and down, but to your point, scale up just enough, but keep pushing forward, right? Is that fair to say? Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. And students, do get the support. I mean, my students, they have my cell phone number. They can call me. They can text me anytime. Matter of fact, they can email me and say, hey, can we meet tomorrow?
Yeah.
They can have a Zoom session tomorrow. I mean, we are here for them. And also, for every course that we teach, we do have Zoom meetings, okay, for the first module, the fourth module, and the last module, okay, just to check in with students and for them to really stay connected, with other students. And having a sense of belonging to a community, it is very important, to help one another, to support one another as they, as students go through this process and to, to complete the program successfully.
That's terrific. Thank you, sir. And, I think when we look at all that you've done in just a short amount of time and for those listening, Trent has really taken this program and owned it and really started to develop something quite beautiful. It's very new, as he stated, and we're still in the early stages of recruiting and enrollment, but what an exciting gift this is to our university and to future students. And there's so much more to you. I was remarking to my wife as I was preparing for the introduction, I was reading through your bio and recording the introduction and thought, my goodness, this guy has a laundry list of degrees, journals, books, articles. I mean, you come to this all very well healed academically. And then all the work you've done in social work. So you bring this kind of large set of experiences and you're still young in your career. So it might be nice to hear from you for those in Saybrook and beyond. What got you into social work? What was the inspiring aspect around that and what keeps you in it day in and day out?
Okay. I would say that, two experiences that really have a profound, okay, on my perceptions and my perspectives in life. I mean, when I was maybe at the age of 9, okay, in Vietnam, I mean, I saw domestic violence, okay, in my community. Hmm. Matter of fact, I saw a guy drag his wife's hair, okay, out in the street. And I was watching it. It was interpersonal violence. And I looked around and said, how come nobody do anything? And I was a kid, felt so helpless. How come nobody intervenes? Because in my country, I mean, that is a personal family affair that nobody should be involved. And as a kid, I mean, I was so close to that lady. I could see her eyes. I could see her face, the helplessness that I saw in her.
Yes.
Okay. And I said that, man, something needs to be done. And as a kid, I could not do anything at all. All I could do was watch. Okay. So even decades later, I mean, I can still remember her face. Okay. And the second event, I mean, because we escaped Vietnam late 1970s, and we were stranded at sea for days. Okay. And basically the whole boat said, this is it. Nobody would come and help us. And then we saw a ship out of nowhere. They did not who we were. They did not know, you know, the circumstances. But instinctively, they saved us.
Wow.
And I said, man, this is what it's about. Hmm. Okay. When you are in those circumstances, somebody that lends a helping hand, it just imprints in your long-term memory bank.
Yes.
Something that cannot be forgotten. And I think that's the reason why I entered this profession, you know, to really want to replicate that. Okay. So that the clients can experience that. Say, hey, social workers do not have any ulterior motives. I mean, they just want to help you. That's it. Nothing is asking in return.
Mm-hmm.
And something within the client would like to go out and replicate that. Even we may not ask for them to pay for it. Okay. And because of those events, I mean, really drove me to research, okay, and to work with the populations that struggle with domestic violence, child abuse, PTSD, immigrants, refugees.
Wow.
So, and for me, it is a labor of love at all, you know, at all costs. So that means that, I mean, I can do this in my 80s, 90s, you know, if I still have the health and the strength to do it, okay? Because I don't see this, you know, is, you know, work at all, okay? Especially with kids in foster care. Okay. They have been rejected, neglected by their own biological parents.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And having attachment issues and all that. And when you just show up and say what you mean and mean what you say,
yeah,
and do what you say, all that. I mean, social workers can change these kids' lives. Okay, with the attachment issues and all that, at least they have somebody that they can attach in a very positive manner. And that is why I'm so passionate when I teach, you know, when I work with clients or when I conduct research, you know, because despite of the diverse populations, with these issues like substance abuse, domestic violence and all that, it doesn't matter your cultural background, the dynamics are almost the same.
Sorry.
Across the board. And that is the passion that I would like to pass on to all students, okay, so that they can impact the people that they cross paths with. And the direct impact is just enormous, meaning that all students, they may have an impact on the people that they will never see in their lifetime,
mm-hmm,
indirectly.
You know, your story of how you got in and what you've been doing since then is, very powerful and very inspirational, and also I think so needed to hear that, especially in these times, right? As we're looking for, we're glomming onto anything we can hear and understand from individuals who bring an authenticity and a clarity of purpose. And boy, you sure bring that to this discussion and to this program and what we're doing. I can't say enough about that, but also to your work with children and with immigrants and refugees. So first of all, thank you for all of that work and all the inspiration you're giving to social workers you've been working with and you continue to work with. As you've gone through this over the last few years, my final question, you've been in the field for quite a while, and you've seen a lot, both in research and in practice. What are some highlights of your career in that regard so far, and serve as your own stories of inspiration, much like your story is an inspiration for me and others?
Sure. Okay. I will say that, I mean, in this profession, we encounter a lot of suffering, human suffering.
Yeah.
Okay, no doubt about that.
Yeah.
And in my experience, enough students usually say that, do I make a difference at all? Okay. Do I make an impact at all? And I think that, you know, when we have one another to support, okay, professionally, mm-hmm. because again, I mean, we do have limitations as well, because we want to see the fruit of our labor. Okay. And when clients, they come to us, I mean, because they have suffering, okay, they have very complex issues, and those issues can weigh us down personally, professionally. Mm-hmm. Okay. Especially when young children are severely abused, the elderly financially exploited by their own family members. I mean, a lot of tough, tough issues. Okay. And, you know, the success stories, okay, are the ones, you know, that really make us stay hopeful, vibrant. And there's no way that we can be lone rangers in this profession as we move forward. There's no way. Okay. Because our client stories cannot not impact us. They impact us tremendously. Okay. And that's why we have to really rely on one another for that support.
Yes.
Okay. If, you know, I see my colleagues, you know, their personality change a little bit. They are not as outgoing, a little bit quiet, you know. I mean, I think I owe to them and say, hey, would you like to process something? Okay. And vice versa. So I think, again, I mean, we are a community of helpers. Okay. And at times, we do need help from one another.
Well, thank you. We're going to have you back for a longer episode. I really want to explore more of what you've talked about, your research, as I mentioned before. Are there any final thoughts or inputs that you have before we conclude today?
Sure. I would say that, you know, the PhD in integrative social work, it's an amazing program. And I think eventually, you know, with the courses that you see in the curriculum, I mean, just so holistic, looking at, you know, human problems from a very integrative, very holistic manner. And I think that's what it takes, you know, to really advocate for these clients and to really have that social justice as time progresses.
Hear, hear. All righty. Thank you, Dr. Wen.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for having me.